In the last weeks, we have seen the disciples argue amongst themselves who is the greatest. We saw Jesus ignore their fight and draw a little child to himself and says that we need to become like this little child. And to serve this little child is to serve Christ. To welcome and love upon this child is to welcome and to love Jesus. And so it's a little surprising, isn't it, that on the coattails of that, that James and John are still wanting to be great? Maybe they understood Jesus to say, you can't make yourself great or argue yourselves into greatness, but maybe Jesus can make them sit at his right and his left so that he would make them great in the kingdom to come. You'll remember that James and John had a nickname that they shared together. They were the sons of thunder. And so here they are thunderously making noise to Jesus to make them great. Jesus takes this opportunity as a master teacher for a teaching moment for all of them. First, he says to them that they don't even know what they're asking for. They have no idea of what they're talking about, really even understanding what the kingdom of God is like and its nature. In fact, they don't understand that the road to greatness in the kingdom will, for him, include suffering and sacrifice and selflessness. James and John believe that they're ready, but they don't know what they're signing up for. It will remind us of what will happen when Jesus is on the cross and they are crucifying him. And Jesus says of them, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So James and John are clueless about what they are asking. But even more importantly, their hearts are not in the right place. And it makes the other 10 angry and jealous, and it stirs up competition among the disciples. And so Jesus reminds them that they are not to aspire for leadership and power in the way of the world, that it only invites anger and fighting amongst ourselves. Jesus brings up religion and politics in this text, the two things we're not supposed to talk about. He talks about the rulers, the nations around Israel at the time, and even including Israel, that had people leading the country in power that were overlords. They were lording it over their subjects, telling them what to do, telling them what to say and what not to say. They were cruel. Jesus also calls them tyrants, lacking any sort of compassion or service for those on the margins and those needing support in their communities. Jesus says that this top-down sort of leadership, this overlording, this tyrant sort of way of leading, that is goes against the way the kingdom of God is supposed to be led. It's certainly not the way Jesus will lead his kingdom. It should remind us that there's nothing new under the sun, is there? It seems like today, in this world, historians say we are at a breaking point right now in global politics where there are more people aspiring for leadership that have totalitarian aspirations than any other time in history. Even more than the 1930s, there are people who want to be dictators and lord it over their people to amass power and control over their subjects. But I think what bothers me, and I think I would hope bothers all of us, is what bothers Jesus. It's not necessarily the fact that there are those people out there in politics, but the way we talk to each other, the way we treat each other. the anger that is stirred up among us. That we are, in a sense, by our disagreements and the way we conduct ourselves in the civil realm, is one of also tyranny, lacking compassion, name-calling, all the things that we see that Jesus is speaking against. And so Jesus is calling the disciples to be different in the world. Yes, there's a reality of the political realm out there, but you focus on what I am calling you to be in the world, the kind of leaders that I am the master showing you by my actions and by my example. He says to be great in the kingdom of God, unlike the civil realm, to be great in his church, to be great in this community of St. Luke, is not to gain power or control over others, but actually to become a servant of others. That's exactly what Jesus did. He served all humanity, not only the disciples, not only his own nation, but he became a servant for the whole world. This is the one who sat upon his throne in the heavenlies for all eternity and then steps down into our world to become a servant. He says, if you want to be first, if you want to be number one, you are to become a slave of all. That means no exceptions. We are to serve people that we disagree with. We are to serve people up to this point that we may not like, that may have not been kind to us. We are, in other words, to show the love of Jesus, how he put everyone else first and then himself last. Mark 10, verse 45, which is in our reading today, is really the key to understanding Mark's gospel. It's really the key to understanding the gospel. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. He's saying he is the human one. He's the one who is going to exemplify what it means not just to be God in the world and God's love in the world, but also what it means to be faithfully human. Jesus teaches us how to be kind, loving human beings. This Son of Man has not come to overlord or become a tyrant, but not to be served, but to serve. Remember, he's the one that stooped down in his knees and washed the disciples' feet. He's the one that stooped down to take upon the cross to Calvary for all of our sins. Jesus gave his life a ransom for many. When we think of ransom, we often think of hostage takers. They kidnap a human being, and then you have to pay a price. The family or the nation has to pay a price to buy the liberty or the freedom of that captive. Jesus is talking to something actually that's even broader than that. He's talking about the slave block, what it costs to purchase a human being. Sadly, in Jesus' day, people were being bought and sold. And so a ransom was the price of a human being. And sadly, we have that even going on today. People are trafficked throughout the world. And Jesus is saying that he is going to give his life a ransom, not just one life for one life, but one life for many, his own life for many. And this is an understatement, because in that service for the many, it's a sacrifice and it's selflessness for all, because Christ died for all, laying down his life to purchase you and me in every human being that has ever lived, Jesus' life is worth an infinite lives in human history. We are purchased not with gold, not with silver, but by his precious blood. And remember what this is. This is a ransom. So he's purchasing us not to own us, not to have us as slaves to control us and to manipulate us, but he's paying a ransom for our freedom, our liberation from sin, from death, and even evil itself. Jesus then elevates us when he frees us. He's putting us first, putting you and me ahead of himself in a sacrifice, in his selflessness. And he's calling you and me to do the same, to become great by becoming a servant, and to become first by putting ourselves last. He turns the world upside down. John F. Kennedy said in one of his speeches that ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. He also turned civic duty upside down. That we shouldn't just look to our political leaders to be our saviors, but we should look to inside of ourselves. We should look to Christ to imitate, to become also selfless and sacrificial as he was, to serve others, to think about what we can do for our countrymen, what we can do for our sisters and brothers in Christ, what we can do for those on the margins in our community, what we can do to love one another by serving, by sacrificing, and by our selflessness. We are to imitate the Master who calls us to greatness, who calls us to be first because he first loved us. And he's called us to imitate him, to really make this church and to make our communities and to make our world a place where we serve and love one another, fulfilling that great commandment to love God with our whole being and to love our neighbor as Christ has loved us. In the name of Jesus, amen.